Today we are looking at 1 Samuel chapter 26, and it has 25 verses. And the theme here is David spares Saul again. So let's see what we have for today. Our study for today can be divided into three sessions. The first session deals with Saul's renewed pursuit of David. This forced David to sneak into Saul's camp and find him sleeping. The second session focuses on David's refusal to kill Saul, but choosing to reason with him. The final part of the study highlights Saul's confession of his sin of wanting to kill David. So let's start with Saul's renewed pursuit of David. 1 Samuel chapter 26, from verse 1 and 2. And the Zivites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Does not David hide himself in the hill of Machilah, which is before Jeshimon?" Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Ziphites means smelters. Hence, they represent all those that the Lord uses as instrument of his judgment. As instruments of the Lord's judgment, it is no wonder that these Ziphites went to report to Saul of the hiding place of David and his men, to put more fire under David and his men. These Ziphites are likened to us when we were in Babylon, where we persecuted the Lord's elect, just like Paul when he was pursuing the Lord's disciples before his conversion. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters of to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Hachilah means dark, and Jeshimon signifies wilderness. David hiding in Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon, implies that David is hiding in this dark world, which is the wilderness. As we have stated previously, Jesus hid among the people when they wanted to kill him after his first preaching in the synagogue. Therefore, David hiding in the wilderness means David hiding in the midst of the people of the world, of this world. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 17 says, "That made the world as a wilderness." So the world is a whole wilderness, "and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners." Luke chapter 4, verses 28 and 29. "And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him, Jesus, out of the synagogue of the city, and led him onto the brow of the hill, whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them, went his way." One second. Saul's relentless pursuit of David demonstrate how our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world regard us as real threats to their reign with Christ. Saul choosing 3,000 men of Israel in verse 2 is to show us the state of our brothers and sisters in the church system. The number 3,000 in the negative context represents those who fall away in the heat of the battle against our flesh. Exodus chapter 32, verse 28 says, "And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day, about 3,000 men. Joshua chapter 7, verse 4. So they went up there of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. What verse 2 therefore implies is that we must all fall away first before we are given to become overcomers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 3 to 5. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakila, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. As indicated earlier, Hachila means dark. The fact that Saul and his men dwelt in Hachila, which is before Jeshimon, shows that our brothers and sisters are darkened in their understanding of the word of the Lord due to lack of water and food in the church in the wilderness, that is Jeshimon. We were at a certain stage of our work also darkened in our understanding when we were in the churches of this world, just like David before he escaped from Saul. Ephesians 4, 18 to 20 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned, you have not so learned of Christ. David coming to know where Saul and his men lay signifies our coming to understand our spiritual death states when we were in the church system of this world or Babylon. Ephesians 2, 4 to 5 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. That is by grace we are saved. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 6 to 7. Then answered David and said to Abimelech the Hittites and Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abisha said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abisha came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. David, together with Abisha, his nephew, risked their lives to observe Saul and his men at their camp. The fact that they were two implies that they serve as witnesses of Christ. David and Abisha going to the camp of Saul and his men therefore signifies how, as the Lord's elect, we are not ignorant of the devil and his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Our defense against the wiles, that is the clever tricks or lies of the devil, is to put on the full armor of the Lord so that we can be able to stand. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." It is significant to note that David and Abisha observed that Saul and all the men were sleeping, with Saul's spear stuck in the ground. The spear is comparable to the sword, which is the word of the Lord. Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The spear being stuck in the ground means that it is partially buried by earth. In other words, the word of the Lord is tainted by man's wisdom and tradition. What we are being told, therefore, is that our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world or Babylon, represented by Saul and his men, are spiritually asleep as a result of the false doctrine, which is actually, false doctrine is actually contaminated word of the Lord, propagated by their leaders. We were also in this situation until the Lord came to us to show us the truth of his word. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 8 to 10. "Then said Abisha to David, 'God has delivered thy enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time.' And David said to Abisha, 'Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?' David said furthermore, 'As the Lord lives, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish.'" Abisha thought that the Lord has given David the opportunity to avenge his enemy, Saul, when they found them sleeping in the camp. David, however, ordered Abisha not to stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed. As the Lord's elect, we are not to fight our own battles. The battle belongs to the Lord, and therefore it is the Lord who avenges our enemies on our behalf. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47 says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 says, "And he said, 'Hearken you, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, that says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" When we take up the sword against our enemies, it shows that we are fighting our own battle, and as a result, we shall perish by the sword. This was the lesson that the Lord Jesus taught Peter when he took a sword and cut the ear of one of those who came to arrest Jesus. Matthew chapter 26, verse 51 says, and 52 says, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, 'Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword.'" 2 Samuel chapter 26 from verse 11 and 12. "The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it and knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord has fallen upon them. David taking the spear and a jar of water from the camp of Saul and his men signifies the Lord taking away the truth from the church system of this world and giving it to us, his elect, who are privileged to be given the understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom. As a result, we are refined by the fire of the word of the Lord, while our brothers and sisters become worse and worse. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 to 12 says, "Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered them, 'To you it is given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.'" It is instructive to note that the Lord caused Saul and his men to fall in deep sleep. This is what the Lord is doing today. Whilst we are being enlightened to know more about Christ, the Lord has darkened the understanding of our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world, such that seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13 to 15. "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, who says, 'By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them.'" David choosing to reason with Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 26, from verse 13 to 15. "Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the hill afar off, a great space between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, 'Answerest thou not, Abner?' Then Abner answered and said, 'Who art thou that cries to the king?' And David said to Abner, 'Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy lord. This thing is no good that thou hast done. As the Lord lives, you are worthy to die, because you have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. The king's spear and the jar of water that David took from Saul when he came with Abishai were used as exhibit to demonstrate how Abner had been negligent of his duty to protect the king by sleeping deep. As a result, he must die." This incident brings to mind the time that Jesus was in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest. He was with the disciples and expected them to keep watch with him, but they all fell asleep. It shows how we operated under the influence of our flesh when we were in the church system of this world. The flesh being weak, we were not able to keep watch during our stay in Babylon. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40 to 41, to 44. "And he came with the disciples and find them asleep and says unto Peter, 'What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. And Saul knew David's voice and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, my Lord, O king. And he said, Wherefore does my Lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in my hand? Now, therefore, I pray thee, let my Lord the king hear the words of his servants. If the Lord has stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go serve other gods. Verse 20. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the earth of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one does hunt a partridge in the mountains. Saul, hearing the voice of David and calling him his son, shows that he did not understand why he kept pursuing David to kill him. This indicates that he did not have his own free will to do what he wants. Just as the Lord raised Pharaoh to resist his will of letting the children of Israel go out of Egypt to the promised land, the Lord was using Saul as his instrument of judgment of David, his elect. All of these threw out of the window the false doctrine that we have our own free will and can do what we want. Romans chapter 9, verse 17 to 21. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. Thou wilt say then unto me, Why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me this? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lamp to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? David struggled at this point in his life to understand the significance of what he was going through as he questioned Saul in verses 18 to 20. He did not know that the Lord was using Saul as his instrument of judgment to destroy his flesh. We all struggle to understand why we sometimes go through what we go through. This is what Paul said about our struggles. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. The verse above shows us that even when we do not have all the answers to our hardships, we must still cling on to hope. In verse 19, David made a profound statement that if it is the Lord who has stirred up Saul to pursue him, then he would let the Lord accept an offering. This indicates that the Lord wants us to offer our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. This is the spiritual worship that the Lord is requiring from each of us as his elect, and he's achieving it through his judgment of our flesh. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Saul's confession of his sins. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 21. Then says Saul, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will not do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thy eyes this day. Behold, I have played a fool and have erred exceedingly. This is the second time in this study of the book of Samuel that we see Saul admitting that he has sinned. In the first instance, in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 17, Saul repented of his actions against David at that time and went on to declare David as being more righteous than him. However, he continued to pursue David. Repentance alone is not enough. We must bring forth fruit that commensurate with our repentance, as indicated by Jesus as follows. Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 22 and 23. And David answered and said, behold, the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivers thee into my hand today, but I will not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. David prepared to return the spear of Saul. Shows us that when we repent of our sins and start to lead lives commensurate with our repentance, the Lord will ensure that what we have lost in Him shall be regained. Joel chapter 2, verse 25 to 27. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. We, the Lord's elect, are the ones who are mourning in Zion as a result of the Lord's judgment of our old man. As indicated in verse 23, the Lord will render to us his righteousness and his faithfulness in the fullness of time. Isaiah 61, verse 3 and 4. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Verse 5, and strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Verse 6, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourself. Verse 7, for your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 20, verses 24 and 25. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in my eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said unto David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shall still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. In verse 24, David told Saul that as Saul's life had been precious to him that day, may his life be precious in the sight of the Lord, and that he's hoping that the Lord will deliver him from all his troubles. As we shall see later in this study of Samuel, indeed the Lord was faithful to David and delivered him from all his troubles. This is David's testimony of how the Lord came to his aid in the fullness of time. Psalm 34, verse 6 to 8, and then verse 19. He says, This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Verse 19 of Psalm 34. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. These verses are to let us know that the Lord will surely show up in the fullness of time to deliver us from all our troubles. Are you weary of what you are going through? Have you lost hope of the situation that you find yourself in and that there is no way of escape? Let's lift up our eyes off our circumstance and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He will surely come to our rescue in the fullness of time to restore all that the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm had eaten. Remember that against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and became the father of many nations. Against all hope, let's lift our eyes off our circumstances and look to Jesus, who is able to do exceedingly beyond what we can ask or think. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. It says, Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In verse 25, Saul ended up blessing David and prophesied that David shall do great things and shall still prevail. This implies that in the fullness of time, our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world and the people of this world shall rejoice and bless us as saviors or the sons of God. That is the great thing that we do as saviors of this world. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 and 19 says, 18 to 21 says, I am sure that what we are suffering now cannot compare with the glory that will be shown to us. Romans 8, 19, the 19 verses, in fact, all creation is eagerly waiting for God to show who his children are. Meanwhile, creation is confused, but not because it wants to be confused. God made it this way in the hope that creation would be set free from decay and will share in the glorious freedom of his children. That is from the CEV version of the Bible. I just want to thank Jesus for the privilege of knowing him in this age. Amen.